Thank you, Father, for Pastor Dave. Thank you for the word he's going to share with us. Thank you that you make our heart very open so that we can receive the word of God and let it work the next week and also in future in our hearts, at home, in your family, and also at work. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Ludwig. Thank you very much. Well, the school year has begun. Oh, Mike and Lynn came home from their holiday. Lindsay's got a birthday tomorrow. And, we'll sing another time. And we have Sunday school today, which is wonderful. So, welcome to all of you again. This morning we're going to start a new series, a series about hearing God's voice. And we're hoping that this will tie into this weekend's conference. On Saturday morning, when Richard and Kate are with us, they're going to be speaking about many, many times that they heard God's voice and God helped them to, God led them to people who were wanting to know about Jesus, and how God used them to share Jesus with their neighbors and their friends. We're really looking forward to the weekend. But continuing on after the conference, we're going to be looking for a number of Sundays at hearing God's voice. And what does it mean to know His voice? How do I learn to hear His voice? Hearing God's voice is always a sought after, desired, and yet feared situation. Hearing God's voice is dangerous. It requires response. We think of Jesus who tells the Pharisees, if you hadn't known, you wouldn't be held accountable. But now that you have, now that you do know, you are held accountable. And so we seek after God. And yet God knows what's really going on in our heart. And I pray that this series will cause all of us to seek God more, to be hungry for God, to want His presence, to want His voice. But to keep in mind that in Scripture, hearing His voice is almost equal to obeying. When we don't obey, He says, you did not listen to me. You did not put into practice. And so it's expected that if we hear, that we also do. So it's a very sobering situation to say, let's take a few months and look at God's voice. And yet it's a very exciting time too. God can speak to us. God can lead us. We often look at the front of our bulletin and we see what we call a mission statement. And the third point of that is that God has called us to be a family that's led by His Spirit. We're not just a family of people who believe in His Word and make sure that everything we do is centered in Christ. We're also a family that seeks to be led by God. And out of being led by Him, people come to know Jesus. And people are made disciples. And the church grows. And the world is changed. Hearing God. How do we hear God? What does it mean to hear God? What does it look like to hear God? You see the little girl in the corner praying to hear God. The woman reading her Bible, seeking to know God. The man intently listening. You know, hearing God is a promise. Many places in the Bible, but we'll look first at Romans chapter 8. Paul tells us about the promises of hearing God. Starting in verse 12, he's been contrasting what it means to live according to the Spirit versus what it means to live according to my sinful nature, what I want. And so Paul is comparing in chapters 7 and 8 what it means to listen to God, or what it means to listen to self. And in the middle of that passage, we read, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, It is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We heard some of that from the music that Don led us in this morning. We are his children. He does know us. And believers understand what Paul is saying here, that we hear a witness in our heart that we are his. God's Spirit interacts with our spirit and confirms to us, you're mine. And Paul says very boldly and very clearly that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. God's sons are led by his Spirit. God's children know his voice. That's a promise. And it's a fact. It's a promise that his sons know his voice. It's a fact that his children know his voice. And don't pull that just out of context to go on all kinds of flighty ideas of your own making. It's in the context of becoming like God, not like self. It's set in the context of this passage of Scripture where Paul is wrestling against sin and the sinful desires of our sinful nature and saying, how do I get free from this, always being pulled backwards by the pitfalls and traps and snares of the enemy? How do I move forward with the plan of God in my life? And the answer comes with being led of the Spirit. Being led of the Spirit is not something that we just do apart from our daily life. It is our daily life. Being led of the Spirit is not just some extracurricular thing for those who hear God in a special way. The Bible says all of God's people are led by his voice, and that's what keeps us out of temptation and on his path. Abba, Father, Daddy, what's next? What a grand adventure you have for us. Where are you taking me, Lord? He has a destiny for our lives. He has a plan for our lives. He says that every single day was written in his book before one of them came to be. But we have an enemy shouting many other messages to us. And so we must be led by the Spirit, lest we're deceived by the voices around us or by our own sinful nature. In some ways, it's kind of funny that we even talk about this topic, much less spend a few weeks on it. Now, just think for a moment. Someone from an outside perspective might look in on today and think, you guys are a bit crazy. You're going to talk about having some academic lesson about how to hear your dad's voice? Imagine if Mr. Funk offered that as a grade 5 class at West Coast Christian School. He's a teacher, if you don't know. Imagine if after children had grown up in their parents' home, gone through their family vacations, gone to visit their relatives, and one day in grade 5, Mr. Funk offers a class. We're going to spend the first semester talking about how you hear your dad's voice. Children, did you know it's a promise? You actually can hear your dad's voice. The kids would look at him like, I've been doing that for 10 years, Mr. Funk. Nope. First, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of examples of other children in different parts of the world that when their parents speak, they actually hear what they're saying. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of testimonies about different people who tell you what their dad said and how they heard it. You'd think he was crazy. We would probably fire him from the school. Right? So why is it that we look at God's word and we're so drawn to, I want to hear his voice. I want to know, can you please teach me more? I know we're drawn to this. I know that every time I've worked with young people, from high school to through university years, it seems like the biggest question in their mind is, what does God want? How can I hear His voice? What does He want with my life? They want to please God. And they're still trying to find their course. They're seeing, where is God pointing me? We all want to hear His voice. Why is it that we need to hear? Why is it that we need to talk about it? Why do we have to talk about recognizing your voice? If your dad picked up the phone right now and phoned you, would you know who it was without him saying? Now, my dad's passed away, but if Tina's dad picked up the phone and called me, I would know who he is. He sounds like Ludwig. But even if Ludwig called me, I wouldn't get confused. Even if Martin Esther called me, I wouldn't get confused. I would say, that's Ekkehard. Because it sounds like his voice. It's somebody I've spent time with. So why do we have to talk about hearing God's voice? Do you know, we actually live in a sinful world. And the good news is that what we do know of God's voice is called first fruits. What we do know of God's voice is called the first fruits. Paul says, now we see dimly as though looking through a glass, but someday we're going to see face to face. It's not quite as easy for us as it is for a child growing up in his home in Vancouver. Because we have been separated from God for generations. Imagine a child who grew up in another home. And then later in life, their biological parents phone them. I'm your dad. But you grew up in a foster home. Let me talk to you. You're intently listening for your father's voice. You hang up the phone. And 3 weeks later, another phone call. Is that the same person? And you have to learn to hear his voice. That's how it is for us. The Bible says that our father was the devil. But we have been taken out of darkness and brought into light. But before that time, we're a lot more used to hearing the devil than we are God. Before that time, we're a lot more used to hearing our own imagination, our own sinful nature, than what we are God. And so when we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, we experience His wonderful first fruits of the Holy Spirit. A deposit. But someday it'll be face to face. And in the meantime, the testimony of our lives and the testimony of Scripture is that the more you spend time with Him, the more you hear His voice. And we're going to look at that in the weeks to come. It's not just spending time. The biggest issue is following. The more we surrender, the more we hear. The more we're obedient, the more He entrusts. To him who's given little and is faithful, more is entrusted. It's a principle of Scripture, on and on and on. Sometimes our life is like a giant maze. We know there's lots and lots of options. We know there's lots of different directions we can take. And our own ideas lead us many ways. And other people's ideas lead us many ways. So in this picture is a group of girls looking at a map inside an outdoor maze. Deciding which way have we come? Where are we going next? Which one of their opinions is right? Who understands what the map really means? And sometimes our life is like that. We're wondering which way to go next. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Now just look back at our picture for a moment. From our vantage point, we can look and look We can study the map. We can talk to one another. We have no idea from this vantage point on the screen right now how far the maze is, how many options there are, and how far down each option you would go before you find the dead end. But from God's perspective, He knows those answers. He sees the end from the beginning. He can direct us which way to go. And so Isaiah told the Israelites that whether you turn to the left or the right, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." That's a great promise. Whether I go left or right, my Father says, take a right here, take a left there, go this way. I often encourage young people with this idea. You live in a world that says your job is to become all-knowing so that you can pick and choose which way to go. That's a huge amount of pressure. It's so much easier to just follow Jesus. When you're here, and you don't have that other vantage point, and you're in the maze, you can believe the lie of Satan and study, study, study. Try to know the whole world so that you can sit as king and you decide which way to go. Or you can listen to God and trust that He knows the way. Let Him lead you. It's a promise that we hear His voice. It's a promise that sons are led by the Spirit. And now in John chapter 10, that sheep hear their shepherd. Jesus is speaking. The Pharisees have challenged Jesus for healing a blind man. Continued to challenge the blind man for saying that Jesus was the one that did the miracle. The blind man had fired back with, "What's with you guys? You want to be His disciples too?" The Pharisees are beginning to ask, "Does Jesus think we're blind?" And Jesus has said, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." And then He gives us an insight into what it means to be His children, His sheep. Verse 1, chapter 10. "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger's voice. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they still did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. Jesus, the shepherd, his people, the sheep. I first read that scripture not long before my 18th birthday. My father had convinced me to do a Bible study. I was far from God at the time. But I did a Bible study in the book of John. And when I got to this passage, I got very angry with God. Because even though I was far from him, I had been baptized in grade 9. I believed that Jesus was the Savior. I believed that God created the world. I believe that only he could forgive my sins. And I read this assuming that I was his sheep. And I angrily said, God, you don't talk to me. This says that you talk to your sheep. Why don't you talk to me? That night, God showed me that in my heart, I had a list of all my options. All of my future plans were in my heart. And from time to time, I would say, God, show me your will. I want to know your way. I really want to know. But what I didn't say is, so that I can compare your way with my way and decide if I like it. And God said, when you throw away your list and take my blank page, I'll start talking to you. He never showed me what was on the page. And to this day, I don't know what's on the page. But I know what's been written so far. I've been on a great adventure since I was 18 years old. Finding God's voice became the most important thing to me when I was 18. God, I don't care what's on your list. I don't care what you tell me to do. I will obey. I must hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. Do you have that longing in your heart to hear his voice? For me, hearing his voice came when I chose to obey. When hearing equaled doing. Then he began speaking. And what an adventure began to come. I remember four different occasions that I was working in the kitchen cabinet factory. And I was working away at my bench. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, you've been faithful. You deserve more money. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to tell the boss that. Your word says, let another mouth praise you, not your own. You tell him, if that's what you think. Four times I heard it, and within the week, the boss called me in and said, I'm giving you a raise. You're doing a great job. What a fun journey. Why did God tell me in advance? Did it change the world that he told me that ahead of time? No. But it taught me a little bit about his voice. You don't always hear his voice right. We live in a world where you have all kinds of other voices, plus your own imaginations. I went off to Bible school for a long 10 weeks, madly in love with this woman who was traveling around Germany. Convinced that she was going to be my wife. She, on the other hand, was having fun in her young life. Yes, I did marry her. It's this one. But one day after I knew that God had said she's going to be your wife, and I was broke, I had not any money to my name. It had all gone to pay for my tuition. But God gave me a vision when I was praying for that beautiful woman. He gave me a vision of a street corner in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, half an hour away from us. And on that street corner was a man in a long trench coat. And I knew that if I walked up to him, he would give me a diamond ring that I could send to her for an engagement present. Well, I had heard God. So I asked Vicky Haverkamp, a missionary to the Arctic Circle, "Hey, when you go into town next time, can I go with you?" "Why?" "Ah, never mind." You can tell how much faith I had. We drove around Detroit Lakes. We went to the exact corner that I had seen in my vision, and there was nobody there. So, okay, we can go home now. About halfway home, Vicky says, "What was that all about?" So I kind of red-faced, embarrassedly told my story, and she laughed and laughed and laughed. But I did that because I was on a journey of learning to hear His voice. And I decided, and this has still held true for the last 25 years, I decided that there's three options. Either it's God, it's my imagination, or it's the devil. So whatever God tells me to do, the devil is pretty easy to figure out. Is there anything in God's word that says no? Okay. Is there any reason that the devil would want me to go help this person? No. Okay, so this ain't him. It's either me or God. And that's the hard one. And you just have to sometimes go by trial and error. One time I sat down with John Gorski at a restaurant. We had our dinner. He was in my youth group. I said, "John, do you know why we're here tonight?" To have dinner? No, to tell these people about Jesus. And I stood up. "Can I have your attention, please? I'd like to tell you about Jesus." The Muslim manager, who had been Tina's boss before, who knew me well, short little guy, came running out. "It's okay, Dave. It's okay. You just sit down. It's okay." He thought I had gone mad. Two wonderful ladies like Margaret Birch came up to us afterwards. "Oh, you fine young man. You're so wonderful." To this day, I don't know if it was God or not. The diamond ring was not God. The restaurant, to this day, I don't know if it was God or not. When I'm in heaven, I'll find out if somebody came to know God through that or if it was just my own imagination. But what have you got to lose? Your pride? Well, that's from the devil. So a little bit of humility. Fine. It's okay. Try it. If it's not the devil, find out. But be confident. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10. What do we see in verse 3? We see sheep listen. Wow, what a promise. If you're His children, you listen to Dad. In verse 4, we see we are His. We belong to Him. That means owned by. He purchased us. He redeemed us. He owns us. We are children that belong to Him. Not just friends that He decided to hang out with for a little bit. Not just a club that we temporarily joined. But when you put your faith in Jesus, you are now belonging to Him. You're His child. What an incredible promise. We listen, we belong, and we follow. Verse 4, the sheep listen, they're His, and they follow. Why do they follow? Because they know His voice. They know He's good. They know they want to follow. They know He means well for them. I remember one time I was volunteering in the church. I was married to Tina. I was working at the kitchen cabinet factory. But I so wanted to please God. I didn't want to fail God. I'd want to know Him more. I want my life to make a difference. Whatever You made me for, use me up before I'm dead, Lord. Whatever my candle's supposed to light, let it be all the way burned up before You take me to heaven. Use me. And whenever our church would have a guest speaker or they'd have an altar call, I would just go, pray for me. Why? Just pray for me. When I went to Bible school, pray for me. When we had a citywide crusade or something, pray for me. I wanted whatever God had for me. Do you know, 3 times when I was seeking after God, I went forward for prayer, once in Minnesota, once in the church, once in the citywide thing. And the stranger who didn't know me would pray for me and say, God says, you're the apple of my eye. I know you. I know your future. And right now, you're right where you're supposed to be. I needed that. But I thought, well, maybe it's just a nice thing the guy said in Minnesota. But then my home church, 1 or 2 years later, exactly the same words. Hey, he wasn't in Minnesota that time. This is God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't care what's in the maze. I don't care what's on his list. He knows where I'm at and he says it's fine right now. Keep on working at the factory. It's great. A few years later, things are in transition. Lord, now what? Now what? I'm at the citywide meeting. I go pray. I need direction. They pray for me. Exactly the same words as the guy in Minnesota. He wasn't in Minnesota either. This is 4 years, 5 years later now. Oh, God knows where I'm at. Every hair on my head, he sees a sparrow when it falls. He said it's fine right now. He gives you strength to move forward when you hear God's voice. It gives you confidence. It gives you joy when you hear God's voice. God speaks to his children. When he speaks, his sheep listen and they follow. And we have a choice of how we respond. We want to eagerly say, Lord, what have you got today? What's on your agenda today? I love this picture in the middle of the little boy saying, not talking to me right now. Don't be talking to me right now. I'm not listening, Mom. Sometimes we're like that. But most of the time we're saying, God, I want to know. I really do. I want to know because I want to do. I want to follow. I remember one time when I was in transition, God spoke to me, quit your job. I went to my boss. I said, Mark, God's told me he wants me to leave and he's going to put me in a full-time ministry situation. Yeah, I've heard that before, Dave. No, Mark. This time, I know. You find another manager. I won't be here in 6 months. But I didn't know where. I went down to Florida to visit some revival there. Brownsville Revival. Mike Wedge and Bill Davies went also. And we picked them up at the airport. We're waiting in line outside of this church to hear this guest speaker. And 3 times Bill Davies says to me, you know, I don't know you very well, but I met you in Calgary a few months ago at that conference. I think God's calling you to be a pastor. And 3 times I changed the topic. And the last time, I think God's calling you to be a pastor, and I think you're going to be a pastor of our church. This church. What he didn't know is that 2 days before we left for Florida, my pastor had phoned me saying, Barney Coombs called, wonders if you and Tina would move to Vancouver. And I was praying, God, we've got to hear your voice. We need to know your voice. Please speak to us. And 2 days later, someone from Vancouver who was not an elder, had not heard anything that Barney was thinking about, is saying to me, I think you're supposed to come to Vancouver and be our pastor. Wow! When God speaks through other people, it blesses you. It directs you. It shows you the way. And all his ways are good. Why would we not respond with eagerness? Later on this year, we're going to play a game called Hide and Seek. Where's God hiding? Can you find him? Where's God hiding presents for you under the tree? Can you find them? What has God got to surprise you? Can you seek it out? He's got an adventure for us. It's around the corner. It's straight ahead. It's the next day. It's over the hill. He has an adventure. It doesn't stop until the day he takes us home. And then the adventure just gets 10 times grander. God bless you.